Hello and welcome back. It's Saturday night, baby. It's In the Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. And a very special Saturday night show as well, as plenty of times in the past we've been told we don't cover the top class Irish racing enough, partly because I can't apparently say it. But we are going to get well stuck in to a fantastic card at the Curragh on Sunday. And also a handful of really good races over at Doncaster as well, as their four-day meeting comes to a close. But my word, there's a lot going on today, wasn't there? But it was pretty much a recrowning for Sam Delacroix, bouncing way back to form with his Irish Champion Stakes win. And that followed fairly hot on the heels of an incredibly tough bomb-proof staying performance in the St. Ledger over at Doncaster from Scandinavia. So the summer flat form, the best horses now starting to solidify themselves as the season goes on, and it is hard to knock either of those two horses. We had impressive victories elsewhere as well, which we'll get to very shortly. Again, Fallen Angel, class. She's just absolutely pure class, and maybe now she'll start to get the credit that she deserves. And elsewhere over at Doncaster, I don't know, are we back in Eternal Sunshine for next year's Kingstand? It might well be the case. Jovial Jim Goldie strikes again. We are live and interactive as ever, so hello to everyone on the chat, to Destiny Sounds, to Eden, to Jabok, to Mappers, and to everyone else who's watching at home. Like the stream if you haven't done so already, and get prepared for group races left, right and centre tomorrow. But let's get our panel for the evening, shall we? Again, I'm left alone in the studio. Last night's special guest, Callum, had a fantastic show, but unfortunately he was at Chester today. He chose not to come back into central London, which I think was probably a good idea. So we are off to Tom Siegel's house once again. Hello, Tom.
Go to me first. Wow, I wasn't expecting that, Ross. Normally I'm last on the agenda.
Just a little bit of a treat for you, Mr. Siegel, because I don't know, like you said, maybe you're the fallen angel of the show. Maybe you don't get the credit you deserve.
Thanks, Ross. No, yeah, looking forward to it. Another good show coming up. Yeah, great racing. Loads of good stuff today. Loads of sport on today, wasn't there? I've been watching cricket and golf and football and everything under the sun.
Yeah, I'm a little bit I'm mentally exhausted in a good way after today. It's sort of like, it's one of those ones that I feel like my brain's got a lot of processes to do when I go to bed tonight to really sort of filter it all out. But
I can tell you one thing, you're not going to be happy with Sheffield Wednesday, and I'm not happy with Reading either. So we're in that same boat together.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we've got into the position now, Tom, where it's like, sometimes I think, well, at least our club still exists. And then I sometimes think, God, it's exhausting existing, isn't it?
I had 4 years of it. I can assure you it's no fun.
Second on the panel tonight, then, is Mr. Graham Rodway, fresh from ripping out his kitchen this afternoon. Ripping out the kitchen and sellotaping back the form book today. Rodders, most of the star names pretty much came out on top.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, Ross. Without massively enjoying it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, fair.
You know, it was a good watch without being spectacular. What do you make of this, St. Ledger? Was it a good year or a bad year? I'm just sitting there trying to work out what RPR to give this winner. I mean, to my eye, I thought it was pretty average running of the race. They've all sort of finished on top of each other. So I think I'm going to go down the average route. Well, how good do you think this Scandinavia is?
Do you know what I liked about it, Rodders, is that he beat every horse. And of course he beat every horse, but they all came and had a go. I mean, Lamborn, you know, galloped out in front. He went past Lamborn. Karma's travelled up on the bridle. He got rid of Karma's. Stay True came swinging along. He got rid of Stay True. Raheeb burrowing down the rail. He got rid of Raheeb. I mean, he's just insanely tough. Whether there were those in behind, I know what you mean, they did finish in a heap, but I don't know. It was an impressive winning performance, I think, but I don't think the ones in behind are up to much.
Well, yeah, and that's the issue, isn't it? Wherever I put Scandinavia, Raheeb's got to be pretty close to him, hasn't he, on RPRs? I'm loath to sort of say that Scandinavia is not a top horse because, like you say, he keeps doing it. And I was only saying about betting Edita yesterday, Keith Melrose, I was only saying, is he a bit faster than he actually looks? Because he always finishes this horse. If you look at him, he's always coming home strong. Even when he finished fifth at Ascot, having gone like right the way around the houses the whole way, he was still coming home like a train that day. And
well, he's also and also Graham, he's got the gears to lie up early as well. He's not one of those stayers who is scrubbed along out the back and then finds plenty. He's on the heels and he battles.
Yeah, I know that I often say this about a lot of these Cornwall horses all look the same and merge into one in my mind, but he's an awful lot, a bit like Kyprios, isn't he? You get the feeling that he, whatever's needed, he'll always do just enough. So I think he's a very difficult horse to get a handle on Scandinavia. He's probably a lot better than we've already seen, and he's pretty good as it is, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he will be one of those ones where you're always tempted to sort of take him on because of the horses he's beaten, but then, you know, what's going to line up against him? As for the others, again, I mean, over at Leopardstown, it's a great day, Tom, but Aidan O'Brien, Johnny Murta. Aidan O'Brien, Carl Burke. Carl Burke, Johnny Murta, Aidan O'Brien. Great day at Leopardstown if you're one of three men. Albeit with that in mind, I think you've got to give credit to Carl Burke, haven't you, to go and nick it a couple of the group races.
He always does, Ross. He does every year in Leopardstown, doesn't he? He's got it sussed there. They ride the track really well. He's got amazing horses, isn't he? Carl Burke now. Mm. He's one of the top five trainers in the country without a shadow of a doubt in terms of pedigree, even. You know what I mean? So I'm not surprised he goes out there and wins races. Fallen Angel's very good, isn't she? She's the best miling filly probably around at the moment, and was no surprise to me that she won. And Convergent was second in the German Derby, isn't it? And people say it was only the German Derby, but at least in Germany, they have horses that stay a mile and a half. We don't. And that's what, going back to the Scandinavia thing, who's going to be around? It's going to be Trawlerman versus him and Sweet William. That'll be it. Mm. Yeah. You know, I don't think he'll beat Trawlerman over 2.5 miles, but it'll get close.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you want to, and again, maybe this has been mentioned, but another pacemaker nonsense though, Tom. I mean, Mount Kilimanjaro is not fast enough to get to the front. So he has to burrow his way through, bash Anmar out of the way, and he gives Zaran a bit of a bump early on as well, and then gets into his... And I don't think it was much mentioned, and I'm not saying it's affected the result necessarily, but I think the start of a race is probably the most important bit in terms of how you end it. And I don't know, it's just... It wasn't the same as the other pacemaker malarkey early on in the season. We've had two of those already, but it's still a mess.
It is a bit of a mess, but I thought the right horses came to the fore, didn't they? And I thought they made it a good... I mean, I thought Delacroix was as impressive as I've ever seen him today. Yeah. I thought he smashed them to bits with a turn of foot, two furlongs out, and then got tired. So, for me, I thought the pacemaker did a really good job. I thought he got a brilliant ride. I thought Christopher Soumillon was excellent today, all round. And I thought Delacroix looked the type of horse that Aidan's been saying he is, and I haven't seen yet. So while the pacemaker, you know, got in a few people's way, I thought the race was fair. I thought the race was good. I thought the pace was held up, and I thought the best two horses came to the fore. So I wasn't too worried about the pacemaker this time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I get what you mean.
Well, I mean, he did do a very good job, didn't he? Because he bashed two of his stablemates winners out of the way early on. So it's a great job, really. Anyway, look, we've got a lot more to come tomorrow. But before we get into that, Graham and Tom, obviously, Paul Keighley notable by his absence this weekend because he has gone away on holiday. And I asked him specifically just to send in some snaps to say hello to everyone because everyone loves a bit of Keel. So here he is. He's gone on holiday to Austria. I said, send him some lovely pictures of your afternoon out here. So this is Paul Keighley at Hallstatt in Austria, who I believe was a Godolphin horse a few years ago. Hallstatt, wasn't he? So there, Paul Keighley having a lovely time there, Graham Rodway.
Oh yeah, he looks like he's having a whale of a time, doesn't he? What's he gone there for?
It looks like a beautiful place. He loves lakes. Who doesn't love standing next to lakes and having their picture taken? Anyway.
I liked the clothing combo, the grey and then the beige and then the blue shoes. He's no... Look at that. Look at that. That's brilliant. Look at those shoes.
That is wonderful. I love him. I absolutely love him to bits. He's honestly... Keels is one of the loveliest men ever. And who else on this panel, if I said, send us some daft photos of you on holiday today, would actually do it?
Well, I wouldn't have replied, Ross, for starters.
Exactly. right, anyway, let's get stuck into the Sunday's action as well, with Doncaster and the Curragh on the way. All right, what do you like on Sunday then? Let us know in the chat. Like I said, it's live and interactive. Make sure you put your fancies in capital letters if you've got one strongly. But like I said, we're going to do a few from Donny, a few from the Curragh. Let's start off with five group races in a row over at the Curragh, starting off with the Moyglare Stud, a group one for the Juvenile Fillies, over 7 furlongs, and Composing is 6-4, Venetian Sun 7-4, Beautify 9-2, and then a jump out to Precise at 10, Susie Songs at 20s, Pivotal Attack at 25s, and Skydance at 33-1. Venetian Sun has seen off the fillies in the Albany, seen off the Colts in the morning, and is here for the Moyglare to take on the best filly in Ballydoyle, apparently Tom Siegel. And they're not bad, are they? With these Group One types. And this is the thing: most of the time, when someone says to me, "This is the best horse in this stable," or whatever, I don't think it pays to listen. However, when you've got that many horses to judge them against, I think you do have to listen a little bit. Yeah, Composing versus Venetian Sun. One proven over the trip, the other one stepping up.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult for Carl Burke, isn't it, here? I mean, we were talking about him just a second ago around Leopardstown. He's got three Aidan O'Brien fillies, and she's in stall one. I don't know if she'll make the running stepping up in trip. I doubt it. She hasn't made the running ever, has she? She's always held up. The Curragh's very difficult if you get stuck down on that rail with three Aidan O'Brien's all around you. I don't know. I think Composing might win this. I'm Venetian Sun's biggest fan. Undoubtedly Venetian Sun's biggest fan. I thought she'd been superb all season long. But stepping up in trip against three Aidan O'Brien fillies from stall one, don't like it. I'll go for Composing here. I thought she was really good. She's been really good every time she's run. She just looked like she's improving. And when they just don't lose, do they? These sort of the best ones, they tend to just keep winning. They don't tend to necessarily win all the time when they get to 3-year-olds, because he's got about 60 others that suddenly improve and with brilliant pedigrees that get past them. But at the moment, I think Composing's has looked incredibly impressive, and I think she'll, on home turf and given where Venetian Sun's drawn, I think she'll come out on top.
The only thing I would say, Rodders, though, SP's last 10 years, 11-2, 9-2, 100-30, 17-2, 9-2, 6, 1, 7-2 favourite back in 2018, 13-2, 25s, 15-2. Now, the trainers are pretty much, the vast majority of them, what you'd expect. Strangely, the only winning favourite in the last 10 years was trained by PJ Prendergast, the most unlikely of the trainers in the winning roll call. So, a bit like the Champagne Stakes today, you know, the 2-year-olds, they are priced up on what they've done over the summer. Now, we've seen for the older horses that they are being crowned again, but the juveniles, the baton is being passed to the autumn horses. Is there a possibility that any of the others could improve?
I hope so, Ross. I think it's obviously a very tricky race, isn't it? Very, very tricky, with a bunch of lightly raced juveniles. I thought Composing quite workmanlike last time in beating Susie Songs. It didn't blow me away, put it that way. I've been impressed with Venetian Sun, but as Tom said, it's really a tough ask going into Aidan O'Brien's backyard, isn't it? And coming away beating him. So I thought it was worth chancing Beautify, who's, well, according to O'Brien himself, not O'Brien's best filly. I was quite impressed with the way she won at the track last time. She was really good over the last couple of furlongs, putting some pretty fast sectionals. Lady Yaman's not a bad horse, is she? That was second, and I thought there was a chance that Beautify might offer some value against the top two in the market. But you know, it's one of those races, isn't it? No result would absolutely surprise me, Ross. Even the huge outside, a Pivotal Attack, I thought had a chance. So it's not a race I'll be betting in. But yeah, if you pin me down and said you must have one, Beautify for me.
All right, Beautify 9-2. I thought Precise was a little bit overpriced, to be fair. I mean, there's possibility, given jockey bookings, that Precise ends up being a pacemaker, annoyingly. But she beat Cape Sunni on further than Composing did. And she beat Moon Target, and obviously more importantly, Aylin, who stayed on really, really strongly to win the fillies race at Doncaster over a mile early on, the Mayhill this week. So is Precise priced up on jockey bookings, Tom?
Yeah, of course she is. That's exactly how she's priced up. You know, it'd be unlikely that Aidan O'Brien would put Ronan Whelan on the one he fancies, isn't it? But as you say, if you're a form punter, she's right in there. She's definitely right in there on the Goodwood form, as you pointed out with Aylin winning at Doncaster in the week. I don't know. It's one of those races, isn't it? Looking back, I misspoke a bit. Quite a few of, I mean, Lake Victoria wasn't even Aidan O'Brien's first string in this race last year. Do you know what I mean? So there is a chance. I've said it many millions of times that I'm absolutely certain he doesn't know which one his best one is. He says he does, but it always changes every 2 minutes when the other one wins, doesn't it? And at this stage last season, Lake Victoria wasn't his best one. So Beautify or Precise could easily be that. I just slightly been more impressed with Composing, but she's 6-4 and the others are big prices. But you know what I mean? You feel such a dummy if you tip one of the second strings and Composing goes and wins that it's not a race I really want to get involved in.
Yeah. I mean, he knows who his best one is now, but they, like you said, that is going to change on what happens on the track, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Composing 6-4, Venetian Sun 7-4 then. On the chat, PMA says Venetian Sun non-runner if it's not good in the going. I wonder, I mean, Leopardstown quickened up today, didn't it? So I'd be disappointed if the
there is rain forecast, isn't it? I mean, it's really confusing tomorrow, Ross, because there's quite a few of the forecasts suggest heavy rain at the Curra tomorrow before racing. And if that's the case, it could go soft. And that will make things even more tricky, won't it, for Venetian Sun, I would imagine. Mm.
Okay, fair enough. Right, that's the Moy Glare stud then. Moving on to the next race at the Curra, the Flying Five. That's right, it's another chance to try and find a Group 1 sprinter. Whose turn is it on the merry-go-round today? As four or 5-2, Bucanero Fuerte is 5-1. Two Stars is 13-2. And then there's a jump out to 10-1, Magira and Arizona Blaze. She's quality is 11s. Night Raider, 11-1. Whistle Jacket at 12-1. And bigger the rest. And again, we're here again, Mr. Graham Rodway, as we spin the roulette wheel and see which number the ball lands in. But Asfora, 5-2. Now, we have to go back several years to find the last time she backed up off the back of a win. And like I said, none of the sprinters have backed up off the back of a win all season. She's got a new bunch of horses to beat this time around.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if Henry Dwyer knows when Asfora's going to win or not. I mean, I spent some time with the connections of Asfora at Goodwood, and they were absolutely adamant that Goodwood was the day and that they would not be flying back for York. There was no way they would be flying back for York. It was only 2 or 3 weeks later, so Goodwood was the big day. And what happened? She finished nowhere at Goodwood, and then she wins at York. So they were telling fibbers or they just didn't know. And the sprint division, that just sums it all up, doesn't it, really? Nobody seems to know, even the people involved with the horses. So what sort of chance have you and I got? Nevertheless, I was working on the assumption there would be rain there tomorrow, Ross. This, and the forecast I looked at saw something like between 9 and 15 mils, which would make it soft. And I thought Buccaneero Fuerte would handle conditions well, and he seems to be in the form of his life, doesn't he? Unlike a lot of these sprinters who just are all beating each other, he has actually managed to win two races in a row. You know, there's not many horses in this race that have managed to win two in a row, is there? I think only him and two stars, is it? I think he'd won a couple in a row. I thought he was impressive last time at the Curragh because he made all, but his best furlong was his last. So he was powering away at the finish. And I always think that's a good thing to see when you see a horse that's made all the running and he's still very, very strong at the finish. Like you said earlier about Scandinavia, we know that Buccaneer of Fuerte can lie up and we know he can finish. And that's good enough for me.
All right, fair enough. Tom Siegel, what's good enough for you in the Flying Five? And like I said, just looking at the weather, yeah, there's supposed to be, right now, there's supposed to be heavy rain between sort of 10 and midday. By the way, just to check, when they said about Venetian Sun with good in the description, is that, well, does yielding do? Or is yielding too not good enough?
That was one of your very influential readers or watchers.
Readers.
Watchers or whatever we call them.
They've got subtitles on.
I hadn't heard that, but if that's, you know, she does want good ground, I'm told. So
yeah.
I don't know anything about that. As for this race, the only thing I'd say is that the two at the top of the market are drawn in stalls one and two, aren't they? Now, not a draw guy at all, so that might be good. That might be where you want to be. It's just that I always like, if I see a race like that and the two at the top of the market are drawn on one side of the track, I think, well, I might be able to get a result here because something. If the place to be is up the far side, up the stand side, which can be the case at the Curragh, undoubtedly, on soft ground, then I've got a chance. And so I was looking into trying to get something on the other side of the track because those two take out such a big percentage of the market. And I came up with Two Stars, who is no longer the price that I was expecting him to be. He's very typical of the winners of the group sprints this year. He hasn't done it in group races. He hasn't done it in group ones, but no, it doesn't seem to matter. Now, I wrote a piece this week saying that was, in my opinion, down to the fact that one, there is no good sprinters around, and two, you got to be on the right pace on the track. You just simply have. And I don't think it's speed related. I think it's where the fastest ground is. And I think that's what has decided all these sprints this season, the fastest ground. And I don't know where that's going to be. I'm hoping it's towards the stand side. And if that's the case, then I give Two Stars a chance, especially if there's that rain that comes, because he has looked very quick on soft ground. And we all know there's not much between the rest of them. They're all about the same. He's bringing in a new line of form. The My Mate Alfie victory gives him a bit to find, but not much. But, you know, he wouldn't have he'd be similar sort of rating to those J.F. Jungles and American Affairs and all those ones that have won the group ones so far this season. So I've thrown a few quid at him at a decent price. He's not such a big price now, but he does need rain. And if it doesn't rain and if it's yielding, I don't think it'll be quick enough. But if it does get soft, I give him a shot.
Okay. Here's some stats for you, Tom. Last 15 years in the Flying Five, the inside three stalls, the inside stalls won twice, and then the next two outside it won each. The outside, the widest stall, has won twice, and the two inside from that have won one each. So, yeah.
Not that big, is it?
No. Well, I mean, it's identical either side, isn't it? So, you are putting a lot of your money, metaphorically or literally, on the low draws if you're following the market.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, Bradstow won from 14. I remember Romantic Proposal won from the widest draw. When Highfield Princess, she came to the near side, she was so quick. But there have been others. Fairyland won in one. Glass Slippers won in two, I remember. Mm. So it's not car, you know, I don't know. We say this every, you know.
Yeah. You're right.
You go to the July Cup and everyone's saying More Thunder is switching to the near side because Tom Marquand thinks it's much quicker up there. And then two of the, you know, 66-1 and a 40-1 shot go up the middle and finish first and third. So it's not an exact science by any stretch of the imagination. You just take a guess, don't you? I think that's what people do. I don't think people know where the best part is. I think we're all guessing.
Well, we saw that at Donny today, didn't we? I mean, the first race, they all came down this near side. I thought, oh, Tom's right. It's going to be a proper high draw bias. And then every other race is middle to far side.
Well, they didn't even come on the near side, did they? I mean, I'm back 5,000-1. We went from like 12-1 out to 66-1.
He went out to 5,000-1, didn't he? I think pretty much.
1,000-1. And he switched from the switch from trap 20 into the middle and gave himself no chance within seconds. But that's the way it goes.
Okay, so Rodders, you are, remind us who you're with again, sorry?
I'm with Bucaniero Ferte, Ross.
All right. And is there not a possibility that there's another very similar type in here in the shape of Arizona Blaze Rodders as well, who's got an incredible colour record, never been out of the three, bombed out in the non-thought when sent off favourite last time out, fast ground at York and then comes back to his favourite track. I thought he was a little bit overpriced.
Well, yeah, and David Egan would have had the choice, would you say, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
David Egan rides them both, don't he? And he is on Arizona Blaze, you know, so it could be that I'm on the wrong one. But we will find out. I mean, Colin Keane's on Bucaniero Fuerte, so it's not really a negative, is it? We will see.
As for the rest, if it does rain, I fancy McGeary in the Flying Five, says Eden, another one who she's run really well at the track, although she is a little bit quirky. Knight Raider each way, probably, says Mike Boy. Let us know when you make your mind up. And as for the rest, he's on, although he is on at 7-2 on Asfora Antipost as well. So that's the Flying Five. Let's fly over to the National Stakes then. Next up, 7 furlong Group One for the juveniles here. And Gestad is 4-5, and the pesky Venetian Sun has gone to take on her own sex earlier on. So he gets to take on the boys, and they include Sabah Desert at 9-2, Zavateri at 11-2, Italy at 10-1, North Coast is 12-1, Dorset is 14-1. I don't know if Kiel's going on holidays are tipping in of itself, but I imagine Gustav's fairly close to Hallstatt, possibly, Tom. That could be an angle for you. But yeah, Gustav, he looked like he needed 7 last time out, didn't he? Relished the stiff 6 at Ascot as well. Sabah Desert going over for Charlie Appleby and William Buick, and again they've had good experiences in this race in the past. And if your heart isn't wanting Zavateri to win, then I think you need to have a word with it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think this is the best two-year-old Colts race so far this season, without question. You got the Zavateri won at Goodwood and Newmarket group races. Sabah Desert won a group race last time as well. Gustardi's on the Coventry Italy that's been born with, you know, all in all those good races. So I think it's really, really top-class race. The question for Gustard fans is whether he'll like the ground. He's by Star Sandal Banner out of an exceeding Excel mare. Doesn't really spring suggest to me he'd like it very soft, but you guess, I don't know that. Star Spangled Banner has loads of horses to go on with give on the ground, but it's not a pedigree that you would say would relish giving the ground. But I do think he's got the best form. I do. I think and a step up to 7 furlongs will suit. Sabah Desert was good at Newmarket, but it was that funny race where Venetian Lace ran across the track. The form is a bit iffy, but it's Charlie Appleby in this race, and he's got a very good record in it. And as you say, Zavateri is just everything you want in a racehorse, isn't it? It travels, quickens, tries any ground, doesn't seem to matter. And he would be the story of the race, wouldn't he, for the Mara Scotties? I mean, and Andy Johnson, I think Gestad will probably win because he's on home turf and they're going to get the race run to suit and everything's going to go right for him. But I want Zavateri to win. Not sure I'll back him, but I really want him to win. I think he's really nice. I'm a big fan of the horse that he beat at Goodwood Morris Dancer. And I think he represents, at the moment, the best of the British. And it would be nice if we could serve one up to Aidan O'Brien, even though it's on his home turf.
Okay, yeah, Zavateri then 11-2 here. Italy 10-1, North Coast 12s, and Dorset 14s. Again, another interesting point I thought here, Mr. Rodway, was it's quite rare. You know, the last horse to win the National Stakes trained in Ireland who'd never run at the Curragh.
The last horse to win the National Stakes who had never won at the Curragh.
Who'd never run at the Curragh.
Never run at the Curragh.
Bearing in mind, you, in my head, you know, I'm assuming that the best juveniles would tend to turn up at the Curragh at some point earlier in the season. But, I mean, you're not going to get it, but we only have to go back to Refuse to Bend in this. Yeah. I mean, admittedly, O'Brien's...
Guinness winner.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's only run about 8 horses in this, but I don't know, I just thought they're just slightly strange profiles for Gestad and Italy, slightly unlikely profiles for O'Brien horses. Maybe he's got so many he has to send them to various tracks here. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was interesting when I looked at it, and then I said it out loud, and it probably wasn't that interesting. So you've probably got something more interesting up your sleeve.
Well, wasn't Italy supposed to be like his best juvenile when he ran at Newmarket, or one of them anyway? He was certainly quite bullish, wasn't he, when he ran at Newmarket? And then we've gone through a process that we spoke about earlier where it's then run up against a couple of horses got beaten, and now suddenly you can back him at 10 to 1 in this race. And Gastard is, you know, obviously Gastard won the Coventry, but I don't know, he's not a star, is he, Gastard? I don't know, we'll see. He's obviously the most likely winner of the race. Wasn't keen on Sabah Desert's Newmarket form. It was a bit like Tom, really. It was a funny race, wasn't it? Italy was second, wasn't he? And it was a messy old contest. I absolutely love Zavateri. How can you not? Mm. He is a great horse, isn't he? You know, he's so tough. He looks for sure to get beaten, didn't he, at Goodwood? And when you see a horse putting his neck out in the way that he did there, just it can't help but endear you to them, can it? He tries so hard. I'm a bit worried about the ground for him. He's never run on this, well, on soft ground, presuming it goes soft. His sire is without parole, isn't he? He's a first-season sire, so we don't have a lot of evidence on his progeny, but without parole was definitely a fast ground horse, wasn't he, when he was on the track? I had a quick look through his dam. His dam didn't race. She was related to a heavy ground winner in Australia. But what's heavy ground in Australia? You know, that could be good to soft, couldn't it, for all we know. So I got no idea if Zavateri is going to go on the ground. But if he does, it's going to take a proper tough horse to beat him, because he tries really hard, and he's the sort of horse who you always want on your side.
Yeah, yeah. Again, yeah, I mean, he was a proper... you know, daisy cutting fast ground horse, wasn't he, without parole? And his record with fast ground horses is exceptional. It's not bad with soft ground horses. He's not. I mean, he's a first season sire, Rodders, and we've had soft ground for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, he's only had, I think, 8 or 10 runners, or very small amount of runners on soft or heavy ground, according to the stats that I had. And he'd never had a winner on them. But, I mean, you know, it's a tiny sample, isn't it? So who knows whether his progeny are going to go through it. But on what we know, without parole was a fast ground horse. And that would make you worry if it got really soft for Zavateri. But like I said already, the one thing you know with this horse is he will try.
Yes, yes, he will indeed. Gastard then 4-5 stepping number trip. I mean, to be fair, the more I look at this, Tom, the more I'm not sure about Sabah Desert's form. I'm not sure about Italy's form. I'm not sure about North Coast and Dorset's form. It looks a straight fight between Gastard and Zavateri to me, and I think I'd quite enjoy that. That'd be a good finish, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree with you. I think Alan Gastard's probably still going to. Might just be the one, just because of what we said earlier about the Venetian Sun race. He's going to get the race run to suit him, isn't he? With two pacemakers in there. Joseph's got one in there. Do you know what I mean? It's just hard. It's just hard. Over the years, we've seen it time and time again, how hard it is to do. It's very possible. Charlie Appleby's done it a few times. And if they're good enough, they will be. But I don't know. I want Zavat, like you boys have said, I desperately want Zavateri to win. Mm. I'd love him to win, because as G-Rod pointed out, he's just everything you want in a racehorse. Just feel Gastard might do.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. We'll see. I mean, like I said, Gastard wasn't the best horse in the stable, apparently, but, you know, Italy was sent off 4-6 behind Sabah Desert and got beat. Dorset was sent off 13-8 behind Zavateri and got beat. So who knows, quite frankly, who knows? Gastard 4-5, then Sabah Desert 9-2, and 5-1 Zavateri on the chat. The heart wants Zavateri too, says Destiny Sounds. Will not be abandoning him now. Agreed, Zavateri all the way, but pass on the race, says Mike. And JP Pigiano has got in touch, who says, going to give Dorset a whirl in this. Forgive his run at Goodwood, and he looked good at the Curragh the time before. Enjoying seeing jockeys like Gavin Ryan and Ronan Whelan getting top opportunities. And again, yeah, you could probably argue that Dorset is priced up once again on jockey bookings. But like I said, he was sent off favourite at Goodwood, and then he beat Benvenuto Cellini on his penultimate start, and he absolutely mullered, admittedly, a fairly weak field today. So, right, that's the national stakes. Bester, Ballydoyle, two-year-old, isn't even... It's Constitution River, isn't he, as well, though, Tom, I thought? Looking forward
could
to
be. Could be. Yeah, I like Constitution River. I like a horse called Endorsement that won at Tipperary the other day. I think there's... We'll see. I mean, listen, I like looking for the Derby horses, so maybe Constitution River will be high up there, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up at the Curragh is the Irish St. Ledger. Al Riffer, 9-4 favourite here. Illinois, 5-2. Amalok is 11-4. Al Kareem, 10s with Crystal Black. Leinster, 16s. Queenstown, 33s with Dallas at Star. And Wild Adler is the outsider of the bunch. We were saying about German horses staying. Interesting to see if that one can get involved in the mix for this Irish St. Ledger, which of course is 3-year-olds and upwards, and you can run if you've lost a couple of bits, which means we get to see Amalok turn up. So we've got 5-year-old Al Riffer, we've got the 4-year-old Stayer Illinois dropping back in trip, we've got the 3-year-old Amalok taking on his elders, we've got York specialist Al Kareem at that Chorleman race last time out, we've got Royal Ascot winner in the shape of Crystal Black, who was a bit unfortunate last time out. Leinster, I mean, to be fair, was a course and distance winner last time out, and Joseph O'Brien and with Billy Lee in the saddle, not a bad combination. He's only a 4-year-old with improvement to come. But it's Al Riffer who heads the top of the betting here at Rodders. After that, decimation last time out at the Curragh here, and he's stepping back into Group 1 company. Now, he's up in grade, and to be fair, the more I looked at the horses that he did decimate, the more I thought, he should have beaten the way he beat him.
Yeah, and quite surprisingly for our Racing Post handicapper Johnny Pearson, like, he wasn't massively over the top here. You know, like, he does like a big figure sometimes, does Johnny? But he, you know, he actually had Al Riffer running below his form from Ascot when he was beaten behind Rebel's Romance. So he didn't even really have him improving for the trip. And I've always thought he was a bit iffy, Al Riffer. Not just because he's got "if" in his name, just a bit iffy. Does he really want to win? You know, like, he's got a funny sort of head carriage, hasn't he? And he's got pieces on. And when he wins, though, he does win well, doesn't he? So he's the right favourite, I thought, and the most likely winner. But that was before I was looking at this race before Scandinavia won the Ledger, wasn't I? So that form now looks okay for Illinois, doesn't it? He was chased home Scandinavia. At Goodwood, like I said, Scandinavia always just seems to do enough and always finishes off well. I thought that maybe Illinois didn't quite stay 2 miles. Maybe that was a bit harsh on him, but maybe Scandinavia just stays better than him, and maybe a mile and six will suit him. But they're sticking the pieces on him, aren't they? So maybe they think he's a bit iffy. He's got a lot of seconds, hasn't he, Illinois? And he's still waiting to win a Group 1, I think, isn't he, Illinois? So,
and Group 1 again. First time cheap pieces in Group 1s, Rodders. No.
Is that a no-no, is it?
It's a no-no.
Yeah, so, I want to take on the top of the market. Amalok I like, but Zahram was closing on him all the way when he won at Ascot, wasn't he? And I thought Amalok got first run on him a little bit, and maybe your top pocket talking to him, I did back Zahram that day, but I felt that Zahram was the best horse in the race, and Amalok... just beat him to the punch. The one that I like is Leinster. Now, he won a rubbish race here last time. It's actually called the St. Ledger Trial, but I just like the way he did it. He was really, really strong at the line. Like, I think he put 2 or 3 lengths on the second. Dallas Star is a massive outsider here over the final furlong, and he hadn't been running badly in decent races before, albeit handicaps, and he's only had 7 runs, Leinster. So he could definitely be improving. And I know that he wants soft ground too. He's a soft ground winner, Leinster. So I thought at 20-odd to 1 or whatever he is, Leinster, such a lightly raced horse, having looked so good at the finish last time, I thought he had a lot more to offer, you know, against a field who, well, certainly Al Riffer and Illinois are a bit iffy.
Okay. Al Iffer. Then at the top of the betting for Rodders, taking him on with Leinster, who many say has a mountain to climb. B, But he's 16 to 1 anyway. So, yeah. First on cheap pieces on Illinois. Al Riffer not beating very good horses back in grade one company. Oh, but it's Rafe Beckett's time of year, isn't it? Tom Siegel and Amalok. Crikey, he's a few sandwiches short of a picnic, but it's a fairly sandwichless picnic, this lineup.
It was really weird, Ascot, wasn't it, when he won? Because the time before at Goodwood, he looked like the most recalcitrant horse you'll ever see in your life, wouldn't he? He was tailed off and came, and then and that was on soft ground, and he comes fast ground at Ascot, and he's like, you know, he's travelling like a travelling thing. So I don't know what to make of any of them. You know, the only one I know exactly what's going to happen is Al Kareem, because we know what he's going to do, but he's normally not quite good enough in this type of company. I think Al Riffer's the best horse. He's got Group 1 form over a mile and a half, and I think he proved he stayed last time. So I think he's the best horse. Whether he's the best horse on, you know, it was a bit of a slowly run affair there, and I just wonder whether he really stays this trip. I think he probably does. And if he does, I think he'll probably win. But Illinois is once again going to have the race run his way, isn't he? And I know he's got the first time cheap pieces on, but he did give Scandinavia a real good old race, and he beat the Doncaster Cup winner, Sweet William, and second in the Gold Cup. He's just a strong stayer that likes soft ground. If he didn't have the cheek pieces on, Ross, I think you'd be fancying him a bit. But he does have your cheek pieces on. So if you're convinced that that's the massive negative, then obviously you're against him.
Well, again, I think it's just a sign of...
Exactly.
It's what it implies, isn't it? It's what it implies. It's that we don't think he's quite good enough to win, especially at the top level. You're dying at the top table. If you think you've got a horse with a stone in hand in a handicap and he's just not quite going through with it or whatever it is, and you might get him over the line, but, you know, you make one mistake in a Group 1 and someone else has the... and something goes perfectly for another horse. It just implies there's something not quite there.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. If everything was right with him, they wouldn't be putting them on, would they? And I mean, that's the same with all those things, headgears, hoods and, you know, visors and blinkers and everything. If trainers put them on for a reason. They think they're not doing something right. And Aidan obviously thinks Illinois isn't pulling it all in. I read his quotes in the paper today and he says they've had a few issues with him. They tried to get him to the Gold Cup when they didn't really want to him, and they might not see the best of him till next year. Well, you know, he's going to have to be pretty near his best to be Al Riffer and Amalok here. Earlier in the week, I was a big Amalok fan, Ross. 11 to 4 is pretty stingy on form, I think. Mm. You know, considering he beat Zahran, who was lapped today. Do you know what I mean? And Al Riffer's got proper... What was he, fifth in the arc or something like that, wasn't he? You know, he's a proper good horse, Al Riffer. If he stays, I think he's going to win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he stayed last time, didn't he, comfortably? But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was just a slowly run race, wasn't it? And this one, they're going to go hard, aren't they? Queenstown's going to go off hard and they're going to make it. And if it's a real slog in the mud, it might not be about ability. It will be about adaptability. And therefore, he might not be quite on them. But I do think he's the best horse.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with Amalok. I mean, like I said, I know Goodwood is a weird track, isn't it? And he's a strange horse, but the way he powered clear in those races on, you know, easy-ish ground in those races. But remember, at Royal Ascot, Rafe Beckett was having a shocking week. He hadn't had a winner all week. They were all running poorly. The ground's rattling fast, which most of his horses want soft going as well. And Amalok toughed it out. And I fancied him as soon as he won at Goodwood. I thought he'll go to Ascot, whatever he runs in. Might be the Queen's Vase, might be the one he won. I'm going to back him. And it was fast ground, and Beckett didn't have a winner all week. And I said, I can't touch him. And then I was really impressed with his attitude. Which, again, previously, I was questioning his attitude. So he's 5 from 5. 3-year-olds have got a really good record in this race. You know, in recent years, we've had, what, Search for a Song, Flag of Honour, Order of St George in the last 10 years have all won this race. So... I don't know. He's the up and comer, and you know we keep saying about horses who just keep winning. Tom, he just keeps winning.
Yeah, and you're right. You are right there. Whereas Illinois certainly doesn't do that. The interesting thing, the point you make there with 3-year-olds having got such a good race, is that Abe didn't run one of his 3-year-olds here. Mm. You know, he's obviously, is that a tip for Illinois or is it? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, would stay true or Lambourne, they would have been definitely been near the top. They've probably been favourite, wouldn't they? Lambourne would have been for this. You know, if you consider it, he's a dual Derby winner and Amalok's won a King Edward. One's that he's 11-4 for this. Now, Lambourne obviously let the side down with another poor performance at Doncaster today. But it's interesting that he didn't run a three-year-old in it. Does he ever run three-year-olds in it? What do your stats say, Ross?
Yeah. Like I said, Flag of Honour and Order of St. George when it was three-year-olds. But they were... it's weird, isn't it? Because I was going to say they're future stayers, but Scandinavia is a stayer. But then he's gone and won the St. Ledger, which is actually more prestigious. He could come back and win the Irish St. Ledger next year if he wants. So, I don't know. I don't think it's saying anything particularly, apart from the fact that the Ledger is a more prestigious race, perhaps.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've spoken to the Cornwall boys about this a few times, and they love the St. Ledger. Mm. They love the classics. And I mean, while the Irish Ledger is obviously a classic, it's not quite a classic in a traditional form, is it? Because it's older horses and geldings and everything. So that I think they'd prefer to win the St. Ledger with a three-year-old than this race, put it like that.
Yeah. Well, it's not a classic. So as for the chat, Illinois was giving tons of weight to Scandinavia in the Goodwood Cup. That's good form, surely. It is good form. Destiny Sounds, Amalok to end his season unbeaten. And Illinois just, says James Day. Yeah, well, I mean, he's not going to be winning by far, is he? Because he's Illinois. We've got a few more races to get through. Let's look at the 5 o'clock at the Curragh event. The Blandford Stakes, this is a Group 2 for fillies and mares. Red Letter, 15-8. One Lock, 9-4. Snellen, 8-1 with Naomi LaPaglia. 12-1 Ballet Slippers and Bar Navara. 14-1 Bar Those. And Red Letter, who, like many horses trained in her stable, may have disappointed when aimed over on these shores, but she looked good last time out. But she's up against an absolute Curragh specialist in One Look, Tom. Can anything else get involved?
Well, at the start of the season, Ballet Slippers was a very highly rated horse of Aidan O'Brien's, wasn't he? I thought she had open potential all over. She went to blow out of... Remember now? I had it on my tongue a minute ago. Magical. So she's bred to be, you know, a superstar. Obviously, things have gone wrong, but Christoph Sumian's on her, so... I expect they think she's still got some potential in her. But no, I don't really think I take her out. I'm struggling to find one that would be better, that will trouble the top two. And if the rain comes, it would be slightly concerning for Red Letter, I think. I don't think there's any evidence really to suggest that's exactly what she wants. And although she did win, she's somewhere, but it was a really weak race. I can't remember where she won on soft ground. Killarney, was it? Gilbeggan, Killarney, one of those. So maybe she'll be all right, but I'd slightly prefer One Look. But it's not a race I've looked into that hard. And Stellan's form at Ascot, unbelievably, worked out unbelievably well, didn't it? Yeah. With Cheshire Lady winning and Maddie Moy, or whatever it was called, running really well in group races. So maybe I'm doing her a disservice, but I think One Look might.
Yeah, I mean, One Look, the only horse that beat One Look at this track is Port of Fortuna. And what price would Port of Fortuna be for this race, Rodders? I think it would be very short indeed. But do you have any other angles, or are you completing the One Look trifecta?
I would really fancy Snellen if the ground doesn't go soft. Because, like Tom said, her form works out well at Ascot, and she... did it nicely, albeit in a small field race last time. The problem is she definitely doesn't go on soft ground. I think we know that. And I will be not even sure she will run. So, I mean, One Look loves Curragh. And, like you say, I mean, Port of Fortuna is the only horse to beat her. So she's going to be very hard to beat. But it's not a race I'll play in because I'm worried about the ground for Snellen. But if it does stay, if it's like good to yielding or something like that, Snellen's got a chance, but I don't think it will be.
All right. And Destiny Sounds says, Ballet Slippers, we're waiting to see her all season. Declare for Ascot next month, will have to be in the frame to justify. Ballet Slippers then at 12-1. A few for you at Doncaster then, as we close off the Ledger Festival with some fiendish handicaps. Again, if only Paul Keighley wasn't staring into the depths of an Austrian lake, and he would be rubbing his hands together with glee at some of these Doncaster races. There he is. he's still there, having a lovely time. Indian Springs is 11-4 favourite. Back in Black, 11-2. Sarab Star, 6s. Defence Minister, 8s. God of War, 10s. Spellmaster, 11s. And Mort Point, 12-1 with Pietro. We go to the rest, 19 of them line up here at Graham Rodway. And, yeah, I don't know what the forecast is for Doncaster over at night or tomorrow morning, but the ground looked horrible by the end of today. So I want a horse in here who can sluice through some pretty bad ground. What have you got for me?
Yeah, it's all mushed up, isn't it? They've already raced on it 3 times, you know, and there's more rain forecast, Ross, I think, or certainly in the forecast that I saw. So it could be very, very testing. Nevertheless, like, I really think the favourite will win this. I know that he was 1-3 or 1-4 last time when he won at Haydock, but God, he was so impressive. He travelled beautifully, and when he was asked, he really quickened up well to win nicely. And I thought he looked like he had a bit of a knee action. And his sire is too darn hot. I think his progeny don't have a bad record on them. On soft, heavy groundish. So I think that that this horse could be a group horse in a handicap, and he's running off 96. So I think he'll win Indian Springs, but obviously there's 19 in it and he's 3-1 favourite. So I'm not telling you anything that the market don't know.
No, but again, we've spoke about it this year already, Tom, about the handicaps giving the market, top of the market, very solid. And we have had plenty of group horses come out of handicaps into group races next time, Matt. Is there anything at a bigger price that you had your eye on?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get what all G-Rod said there, but he's the type of horse I want to take on always, because he's never run in a handicap. He looked good, but the horse he beat at Haydock's been beaten at Sutherland places since. So, listen, he might be a group horse, but he's 11-4 against horses that have got this is a good race. There's some deep horse, deep form in there. Defence Minister is the one I like. Thought he should have won at Sandown. Woodbeer came out and won afterwards. And then he went to Goodwood last time from a dodgy draw, stall 12. There was the first Native Warrior and Great Acclaim came and went and finished first and second at Ascot. Behind was Mr. Chaplin, who's won since. Behind was Roscolin, who came out a week after. A couple of days later and won the mile. I think that's really solid form. He was unlucky that day. I think soft ground's no problem for him. He's by too darn hot too. I just think he's got better form. Now, Indian Springs might be a better horse, but I don't know that yet. So Defence Minister for me. Like him.
Defence Minister, an 8-1. Quite like God of War here, yeah. Tom. You backed Galleron out of that race today. Yeah. He ran perfectly creditably, ran a really nice race. He's beaten Doncaster twice, God of War once. He won his novice. He ran perfectly creditably in the Flying Scotsman. And, yeah, he ran into El Burhan at Chester, who was very well handicapped and shot home over 7.5. And then last time out, I thought that was a good race, that Sandown race. The time was good. Again, the ground was really horribly sticky that day as well. So I think he'll relish this test.
Yeah, he will. I mean, he was definitely on the list. Just slightly preferred Defence Minister. I agree entirely with what you said there. The other one I think you could throw in there is a couple of James Fanshawe's horses, Back in Black, who looked exceptional when he won at Newbury at the start of the season, but was, I don't know what to make of his Doncaster good run. Might have needed it behind Darkness last time, and right down the bottom, Pietro, who only won at Brighton last time, but he was top weight in the Brighton Sprint Championship or whatever they call it. He won very easily, 7 furlongs and soft ground, not a problem for him either. But I mean, I don't know. I quite like Defence Minister. I just think he's very, very solid. He's got good form in good races, and that's what I'm.
And actually, I'm going to throw one more in for you, Tom, because I know you like Edward Smith Osborne as well.
Yeah.
And Up the Pace, I thought was a little bit interesting. Again, won a handicap at Salisbury last year on good to soft, third on heavy ground at Goodwood, and won a handicap here in June. So, you know, the conditions that he's going to get tomorrow are going to be ideal, and his trainers' horses are always 5 points bigger than they should be.
Of course they are, yeah. Edward's the poshest trainer in the country. Smythe Osborne.
That's quite a competition as well, isn't it?
I don't know. I've never heard old Edward Smythe speak, but he sounds like he's posh, doesn't he? But I totally get your thing. But this is a really good race. That's why I'm just slightly surprised the favourites as short as he is. He'll probably go off at 7-4 and win by miles, but on what they've done so far, no.
All right, that's the 2:30 at Doncaster then. More handicap action far as next at Doncaster, the 3 o'clock, 6.5 furlongs is the distance. Pocklington, 5-1, £10, 6-1. Comanche Falls, 6-1, Royal Velvet, 7-1, Desert Falcon, 8, Circadian Thunder, 9, Purest Time, 10-1, and Pure Sangue, 10s are bigger than the rest. And I feel like Sir Patrick Moore here, Tom Siegel, looking into black holes after black hole after black hole. With Pocklington finally leaving York behind and coming to Doncaster down the road.
Yeah. I mean, he's interesting, isn't he? I mean, he's favourite again, Pocklington. He's caught the eye again at York last time. Everyone backed him again. And I'm sure they back him each way, and he'll probably come and, you know, he's very consistent, isn't he? And he runs his race. Maybe moving from York is the thing for him, because he tends to sort of travel and then not travel and then rattle home. So 6.5 furlongs, I think, will suit him. He's definitely got it in him to win a race like this. But, you know, if the ground deteriorates, that's a question mark for him, I think. I thought there was one in there. I don't think it's on that catch in there. Oliver Show for George Bowie, who won the Lincoln, but didn't win the Lincoln at the start of the season. I mean, he was in front before everywhere, but I still can't believe the photo said he didn't win it. But I think if there's some rain, he's drawn next to Baldomiro, who I think they'll go straight up the middle like they did today. And I don't know, I've Billy Lockmain on Bowie's horse is going well. I thought that run gives him, I think he's a pound higher or something. But I thought he's a traveller, and I think coming back in trip will help him. I fancied him to run well at Royal Ascot, but I think the ground was too quick for him. And then he sort of caught the eye last time in one of those racing league races on the all weather. I think this is much more his cup of tea. And I thought he could go well at a decent price. And if the ground isn't too bad, cannot understand why Alto's always such a big price every time he runs. Should have beaten. He was in front of More Thunder before and after the line in the Bunbury Cup. 7 furlongs is his trip. Didn't quite get a mile at York last time, but he does need no rain.
All right. And he does. He does need no rain. But the you were talking about black holes, but Rodders, I think it's Acadian Thunder Day. I think it's Acadian Thunder Day. He's a Doncaster horse. He's 1-2-1 at the track. The only horse that beat him at the track was My Al in a really good race where he shot past 7 horses on to get to the heels. I know he's got a terrible head carriage. I know he's a flatterer. I know he falls out of stall sometimes, but he's horses for courses, horses for conditions. It's his conditions tomorrow, and he apparently makes it look so difficult. But maybe it's just this track that brings out the best in him.
Maybe. I mean,
maybe. I hope so.
He must be my unluckiest bet of the whole year in that race at Royal Ascot. What chance did I have of winning that?
Yeah.
You know, bumping in the never so brave, you know. I can't believe that I didn't pick up. Really, I should have been paid out, really. You know, never so brave is a group one also.
Well, you know, like the handicapper can go back and put a pound or two on an extra. You should be able to get, you should get paid out for that.
I should, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Retrospectively, you know, I picked out the winner of a 27 runner handicap bar a group one horse. Unbelievable. But it could be. He's running off the same mark, Ross. He ran off the same mark as well. So it could well be. So.
Come on, Rodders, come in with me. Come on. You know you want to.
I was impressed with Royal Velvet when she won at York last time, because I thought that she had to challenge on the wrong side of the track. She had to come up like the far side, right round the field, and before then eventually merging into the centre where everything else was coming up the stands round. Everything that was on the far side was kind of tailed off. But yeah, Royal Velvet was able to come down that side before making her challenge to win. So I think if she runs to that sort of level, £5 higher mark, she's got a really good chance. I've got a couple of worries. One is that she's a bit of an oxo, isn't she? You know, she runs one brilliant race and then run poor race and then a brilliant race and then a poor race. She doesn't seem to be able to tend to be able to follow one good run with another. And the other one, I suppose, is the ground, because all her best form is on fast ground. I don't think Lightning Spears figures on soft ground are too bad, her sire. So there's a chance she might go on softer ground. And if she does, I think she will run well, provided she's over those York Exertions, Royal Velvet. But you know what's going to happen. You've said it. Arcadian Thunder will go and do it, won't it? And Spears, I won't have a penny on, and it'll be the win that I should have had.
Look, if that happens, Rod, I'll send you a tenner.
Oh, thanks, Ross. That's very cool. I'll have a beer on that.
Yeah, just something. Well, I mean, you live in and around London, so you can get a half.
I cry into my pint afterwards.
Yeah, no, it's a half your pint.
Yeah. Right, let's wrap it up then with the Sceptre Stakes, the Phillies Group 3. I've rattled through this. I mean, mainly, it's just a nightmare, isn't it? 7 furlongs, 19 runners, soft ground, spread out all over the place, all ages as well. Shuari 4-1, Queen of Mugans 9-2, Fair Angelica 7, Spiritual 15-2, 8-1 Bright Thunder and Lulu's Gift 9-1 Bar. Tom, it's not a sprint handicap, but I feel like we should treat it as such. You've got 30 seconds to give us the winner of the Sceptre Stakes.
Well, Shuari beat a certain Fallen Angel as a 2-year-old on soft ground, and I think she's the right favourite. I think she missed last season through injury, but she's peaking to a crescendo now. She was good in France last time. I think she'll win.
All right, lovely. What a lovely case made. Shuari 4-1. Ollie Sangster and Danny Muscat teaming up. Rodders, make a case for one.
Yeah, I agree with Tom. Yeah, I think that she's a good old Shuari. When she finished second behind Ylang Ylang, that was really top class. It was a Group 1 race, I think, wasn't it? And the previous run, when she was beaten by Carla's Way, I think that was called. It was a really strange race where Ylang Ylang was behind her and Carla's Way sort of got first run on them and Shuari was absolutely flying. So, I've had her on my radar for a while as a classy horse because she missed most of last season, didn't she? Or maybe all of it. But and then she, like Tom said, she's really coming back to form. She showed up last time in France. She goes on soft ground. She's just better than these, Ross.
All right. Love it. Just better than these. Keep it simple. Naps coming up after this. Lots to like about Sunday's lineup, but then let's hope we can get a winner in all three. It would be nice, wouldn't it? Starting off with the best bet, the Nap of Mr. Graham Rodway on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Indian Springs in the 2:30 at Doncaster. These group horses in handicaps nowadays, Ross, they don't get beat.
There you go. I love it. All right. What about you, Tom?
Oh, I want you to go next, Ross.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I feel sorry for you. You always go last. You always have to pick up the pieces. What was your one yesterday? It was a dual forecasting something, wasn't it? Was it a forecast? What did you go for? I can't remember.
I have absolutely no idea what I went for, if I'm honest. But I'm going to go with 1-1. 1-1-1, the cruelest cut of all, as Callum said last night, but it's made Amalok into a Group 1 horse, I hope. So Amalok in the Irish Shunt Ledger. Right then, Tom, your go.
Defence Minister in the 2:30. I can't go for that. Rodders is on that.
If you want. You can go for Defence Minister.
I've changed. I'm going for Shuari now.
All right, okay. Amalok, Defence Minister, Amalok, Shuari, Indian Springs, they're the three. It's been a pleasure as always, gents. I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy Sunday's action. Good night.